Take your Bibles, if you would. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. All right, stand, if you would, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God. And I am going to read these 18 verses here in chapter 6. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So I know you know that I know that you know how much I love the English language. Okay? Here is a word that I think is funny because I actually had to look up why we say it the way we say it. There in verse 17 is the word separate. He says here, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, this word separate is said when it's used as a noun or an adjective. I never knew that before. I had to look it up today. Why do we say this word separate? Because it's the same word with the same similar definitions, and we use it to say it as a verb, separate. Why? I don't know. Why can't we just say it separate both ways or separate both ways? I don't know why. It very clearly has a distinction that when it's used as a verb, whether it's transitive or intransitive, it is separate, three syllables, I guess. And then when it's a noun, it's just separate. Okay? So same spelling, no other delineation. So when you're reading a sentence, you have to know whether it's being used as a verb or a noun or an adjective. So, it's just English. You know how it is. Now, as a verb, it's used to indicate to disunite, to divide. And I want you to focus on that because when we talk about separation, that's a big controversial topic amongst Christians, right? Especially when we talk about
being independent Baptists. That's a big deal. To disunite. That means what has to be happen in the first place has to be united. If I'm going to divide something, it has to be what? Joined together. If I'm going to put things that are joined together or united apart or separate them or make them separate, I've got to pull them apart, right? I have to disunite them. I have to maybe sever, right? Or disjoin or divide or set one apart from the other to make this word work, right? Everybody understand what we're talking about? And see, that's the thing I think that people miss is they miss the actual definition. And they focus on what things we're taking away from them. That's what people focus on. Oh, you talk about separation. Oh, you talk about being distinct or different from the world. No, you're missing the point of the word. You're missing the command of God. And he has this feeling, and he has this motive, and he has this reason for making a word like separate or separate part of our lives as Christians. It's not just because we're independent Baptists. It's because we're Christians. It's because we're believers in Christ. It's because we were of the world, and now in Christ, we are to be separate. We're supposed to be divided from. We're supposed to be disunited with. We're supposed to be severed. We're supposed to be apart from the world. Something that was naturally joined together has now been separated. Guess who separated us? God did. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been made separate. We have been separated from the world. You see, it's not an independent Baptist thing. It's a God thing. And that's what people miss. They want to attach it to something, but they're missing the point of the word. I think if people just knew the English language, they'd be better believers in Christ. And again, I really hate to promote grammar studies, but we've got to. It's a necessary evil. Okay, we'll just call it that and be done with it. Now, so I got to thinking about this, and I got to thinking about this passage of Scripture. Did you notice? I read the whole chapter for a reason. Did you notice all of the prelude here as he's going through these many verses before he even gets to talking about being unequal yoked? That doesn't happen until verse 14. So we're going all the way through these other things. What he's talking about, we then as workers together with him, with who? With Jesus Christ. And he talks about working with Christ, and these are saved people and working in the ministry, and he talks about their salvation, and he talks about not giving offense to anything, and that the ministry be not blamed, and improving things in their life, and patience in affliction and necessities and distresses and stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings. And so all the things that they're going through as a church, as believers, missionaries and preachers of the Word of God, that they're going through all of these things, working together with Christ, that the ministry be not blamed. This is all positive stuff here. This is all positive Christian living and service to God, and you understand. And he's encouraging a church and a group of people that need to be encouraged in the work of the Lord. And then he even tells them how to accomplish it. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, hey, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor. What does he mean by that? To God it's honor, and to the world it's viewed as dishonor. By the world, an evil report. To God, a good report. The world thinks we're deceivers, and he says, and yet true. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, but behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, but yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. He talks about, think about it. If Christianity would just be honest, they don't have anything against the first 13 verses here. They'd all be encouraged by the same things. I mean, who's going to be against righteousness, and who's going to be against the truth and the power of God and the Holy Spirit and love unfeigned and kindness and long suffering? You see, yeah, preacher, we're for all that. It's the age of grace, right? We're all excited about all this. But then we get down to verse 17 and they're like, oh, not the S word. I say that on purpose. Separation. How dare you lord over us? How dare you impose these things on us? Not? I don't get it. But I really feel like I was just looking at this and I'm like, you know what? I need to look up this word because there's got to be something here. And there is. They just don't know what it really means. It just simply means to disunite. In other words, something was joined together, either naturally or casually joined together, and now it is disunited. Now it is severed. Now it is parted. Now it is divided. Now it is no longer together. They are separate. And guess when the now happens? It's not when you join an independent Baptist church. And it's not when you become this religion or that religion or with this group or with that group. It comes with salvation. That's when separation happens. Because that which was of the world is no longer part of the world. And that which was of the flesh is no longer of the flesh. It has been divided. It has been severed. It has been parted. It has been disunited. It is no longer together because of Jesus. And that is the key right there. That will set you free, my friends. Because if it's in Christ, then there's none of this, oh, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul and da, 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 da. Who really cares? It's about life in Christ. And that's what we as believers have to get a hold of. So first of all, we have been disunited. We have been separated from the flesh. Folks, when we're separated from something, we ought not to reunite it. If Jesus Christ parted us asunder, if he severed the relationship that we have with the flesh, we ought to keep it that way. What business do we have putting it back together? None. Romans 7 says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's who. And that's how. If you want to stay separate from the flesh all the rest of your days, stay close to Christ. Because he's the separator. He's the one that divided it asunder. His blood separated us from our sinful flesh. And now we get to walk in the Spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are, behold, all things are become. Hey, last I checked, that meets the definition of separation. That meets the definition of separate. Something that was naturally united is no longer united. Paul said, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know what Paul was saying? I'm a separated being. I would that I could, that I couldn't, that I did, that I wouldn't, that I did, that I couldn't do. Yeah. Why? Because he was at odds with himself. Folks, your flesh is going to try to sin. Your flesh is going to try to make you backslide. Your flesh is going to try to draw you back into that old life. You've got to sever it day by day by day by day. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What is that? Separation. That's being separate. No longer joined together. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For if they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Folks, if you want peace in your life as a Christian, you cannot be reunited with your flesh. The natural man, the carnal man. You've got to say no. Last I checked, the Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Put them to death day by day by day. You know, our flesh has this uncanny ability to resurrect overnight. And sometimes, if it's ornery enough, it'll resurrect during the day. Yeah. Oh, you might get up in the morning and you might kneel down by your bed and pray and ask God to use you this day and to set your heart aright. And then by about 10:30, the flesh is chasing you down already again. Trying to reunite. No way, man. I need to, if you will, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We have been made free from the flesh through Jesus Christ. And we need to stay that way. That's all that separation is staying free from the unitedness of the flesh. It's bondage, folks. The Bible says that when we go back into that, we are bound again. We are back in bondage, and we don't need to live that way. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, in chapter 7, Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In Galatians, Paul said, this then, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We need to keep that separation. that severing, that space and that distance, to be divided from the flesh in all parts of our life. Because if we fall back into it, if we reunite that relationship with the flesh, it is considered enmity against God. You know what enmity is? It's an active agent against another force. You say, I'm not actively hurting God. I'm not going to pursue after God and fight Him. That's what enmity means. So yes, you are. If you decide to reunite that relationship with the flesh, you become the enemy of God. Now, I said that carefully. I didn't say necessarily that God becomes your enemy. You become His enemy. You're the one making the deal. You're the one causing the strife. You're the one starting the fight. Anybody here want to pick a fight with God? I don't think so. If you say yes, you're not in your right mind and you need help. No. Why would we do that? Oh, I just want to, this old flesh. I'm so comfortable with this old flesh. We used to be really great buddies. All the wonderful things we used to do together. Come on now. Don't go quiet on me all of a sudden. Are we not comfortable? Yeah, we are, aren't we? Folks, it's our old nature. But now in Jesus, we should be uncomfortable with it. So uncomfortable that we say, no, I don't want to go back to that. I'm living a new life in Christ. I'm free from that old life, that old flesh. In Galatians 6, Paul says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You understand, it's a great principle. We use it in the area of finances and giving and tithing and all that stuff, and that's not inappropriate. But listen to what he says after this very next sentence. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So what is the qualifier of this comment? Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's in context of our relationship with our flesh or our relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's what it's in context of. So guess what? If we shall sow of the flesh, what are we going to reap? Corruption. If we sow of the Spirit, what are we going to reap? That life everlasting. You understand that it matters if we be separate from our flesh or not. Or if we be separated from our flesh or not. And then I love this. In the very next sentence, we use this in another verse. We use it for Christian service oftentimes. And it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for we in due season shall reap if we faint not. Folks, what is the whole context of this sowing and reaping principle? The relationship of the flesh and the Spirit. That's what it's all about. He says, hey, that flesh is going to wear on you and wear on you and wear on you. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap. Shall reap what? Of the Spirit unto life everlasting, if ye faint not. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we don't follow that through all three sentences put together. But that's what it's talking about. And you know what all that has to do with? Separation. Being separate from our flesh. One of my favorite passages in Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, separated. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And I won't read them all again for sake of time. You understand that we are renewed in our spirit. We've been bought with a price. It's our reasonable service to live a holy, acceptable life that's acceptable unto God. And it has to do with being separate, being separated from the flesh. The second thing I want to point out is that not only are we to be severed, disunited, divided from, making space between the flesh, but also the world. The world. Hey, fighting with ourselves is bad enough. But we've got to fight against the world too. Because guess what? Before Christ, where were we comfortable? In the world. Where was our life? In the world. It's a natural thing to do the things that people do in the world. To seek after those pleasures. To seek after those lusts. To seek after the pride of life. And all those things that are what? In the world. Because guess what? We were of it. It was our home. That's why we can sing now as saved people. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Why can we sing that? Because we've been, separated. We've been severed. We've been cut off by Jesus Christ from the world. In Luke 6, Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company. Hey, the world's going to separate you out. If you're living like a Christian, if you're representing Jesus Christ, the world is going to be able to pick you out of a crowd. They're going to be able to, they'll separate you out. Hey, why do you think people are after us all the time? If we stand up and say anything about the Bible or about salvation, or about how society's supposed to be. I mean, God forbid we say something about the LGBTQ alphabet people. Hate mongers. Homophobes. They pick us out real quick, don't they? Is it Jesus said? What did he say? Blessed are ye. When men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Jesus said that's going to happen. So if the world's going to treat us like that, if we decide to live for Christ, why do we want to join up with them again? Why do we want to unsever that severed relationship? Why do we want to reunite that disunited relationship? Why do we want to go back to that? We're supposed to be separate and separated from the world. By the way, Jesus says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. In John 15, he said, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Do you know what Jesus is going to say when you go crying to him, saying, I lost my job today, Lord, because I loved you and served you. And what? He's going to say, you know what? It's okay. They hated me first. Because they did. And if they hate us because of him, They really don't hate us. They hate him. He says here that if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And just like the flesh, if we love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So if we go back to that flesh, we're despising what Jesus did for us in separating us from the flesh. We're despising what Jesus did for us by taking us out of the world and giving us a new life. We say, no, Jesus, I don't want that. I want to go back to the world. No, Jesus, I don't want to be separated from the flesh. I'm going to go back to the flesh. Do you understand what we're doing here? This is the issue. This is the problem. We need to make sure that we separate from the world. That we stay out of the world. Jesus Christ has delivered us out of the world. He's taken us out of it. As far as the associations and the relationship that naturally existed. He's put a space between us and the world. He's given us that space through his blood, through salvation. In Matthew 25, I'm not going to read all of the portions of scripture here, but I'm just going to highlight a few things here. Look what it says. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of this world. And then in chapters 35 through 40, he tells them what requirements they met to receive such a reward. Then in verse 41, it says, Then shall he say unto them also on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then there's a little discourse there that between those that are condemned and Jesus, and he tells them why this is happening. And then in verse 46, he says this, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Who has separated us from the world? Christ has. So who are we to reunite that relationship? You see, Pastor, it's just a naturally occurring relationship. I know. But now for us as believers, it has been severed. It has been disunited. It has been put asunder. James 4 says, From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust and war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is, there's that word again, enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain? The spirit that dwelleth in the lust in us, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What is he saying? Say no to the reuniting of your relationship with the world. Say no to the reuniting of your relationship with the flesh. When I was in high school, there was a big anti-drug campaign. Just say no. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. As we finish up tonight, 10 minutes ago, where does the time go? I don't know where it goes. Did somebody mess with my watch before I started? Oh, I'm sorry, my wrist clock. Now, there is one other definition for the word separate. It is to set apart for a particular service. Now, this is the good sense of the word, if you will. The others are difficult because it's talking about disuniting or severing or taking something apart that's naturally together, like our flesh and our relationship with the world. But this one has a positive connotation because God wants to use us in our lives. He wants us to serve Him. We have been separated for a purpose. It's not just for nothing. It's not just for no reason. It is for a purpose. God said in Deuteronomy 14, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto Himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." You understand that God has chosen us. He's given us an opportunity to be separate so that we can be in His service. I don't have time to get into it, but in the book of Numbers, Moses said this. He said, "It seemeth it but a small thing unto you." Remember, he was having this battle with the sons of Korah. They thought that he was usurping too much authority upon himself over the people of Israel. And they were chosen to minister before the Lord. What they were doing was a big deal to God. And here's what Moses rebuttals to them and says to them. He says, "Seemeth it but a small thing to you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself and to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?" He's like, you guys are treating this responsibility that God chose you for way too lightly. And you're thinking that you should have more authority and I should have less authority. You're wrong. Folks, we've been bought with a price. And if God has chosen you to be a finger in the body of Christ, then be the best finger you can. Seemeth it small to you what God has chosen you for? No. Because guess what? Fingers are important. Noses are important. Ears are important. Eyes are important. Hair particles are important. Toes, big stinky toes are important. If you're a big stinky toe, be the best big stinky toe you can be for the Lord. We all laugh, but come on. That's the reality of it. We are lively stones, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness. What is that? Separation. Into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Folks, when Paul says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord," this thing of separation has a whole lot more to do than with being an independent Baptist. It has a whole lot more than to do with what we wear, how we speak, the things we participate or don't participate in. It's way beyond that. Way beyond that. You see, all those things that I just mentioned are just things we got to come to grips with. That's what we were, and now we're not. We were buddy-buddy with the flesh, and now we're not. We were buddy-buddy with the world, but now we're not. Because of Jesus Christ.